At first, Johnny felt it was far too fancy. And just then, another emissary arrived on the platform wearing a towering gold crown. This was far less fancy than that. But still, Johnny looked at it. It was a bit different from the other dragons.
"Very beautiful,"
said Johnny, so the coordinator could tell the son-in-law. They were fixing his clothes. It wasn't time yet by a long way. Johnny looked at the helmet. Via the coordinator, he said to Mr. Tsung,
"Tell me about this dragon."
Mr. Tsung tossed it off and, via the coordinator, told Johnny that the throne of China had been called the Dragon Throne. Long Pao, or Qi Fu, patterns or robes were court dress. It was an imperial... Johnny knew all that.
"Tell him to tell me about this dragon. It's different."
Mr. Tsung sighed. There were a lot of other things, far more important, that he should be telling Lord Johnny, and he didn't think it was very applicable just now to embark on myths and fairy tales. But, well, yes, this dragon was different. The whole story? Oh my. Well, it went this way. Once upon a time... Johnny lay back on the bed with the helmet on his stomach and listened. Unfortunately, he did have time. So he listened as Mr. Tsung went on telling him the long and involved fairy tale. Suddenly, about halfway through it, Johnny abruptly sat up and said to the coordinator,
"I thought so! Please send for Sir Robert."
It startled Mr. Tsung, and Johnny said,
"Thank you. Very good story. Thank you more than you know."
As Lord Johnny seemed pleased and things were a bit rushed, Mr. Tsung happily went out to make sure the silk suit was altered correctly. Johnny looked around to see whether there were any button cameras in the place. He couldn't really tell. He didn't think so, but he would be very brief and cryptic to play it on the safe side. A couple minutes later, Sir Robert came in. He, too, had been grooming himself. He was wearing a cloak with the Royal Stuart colors, a matching kilt, and Scottish white spats. The wool was made of shining hairs. He was the complete Scottish soldier and lord, accepting only weapons. Johnny had never seen him dressed in full regimentals before. Quite impressive. But the old man looked a bit hollow-eyed and worried.
"This is going to be a tough one."
"Aye, lad. Did you ken that tullnip? I be no diplomat, laddie, and there's nae chance of bringing Fergus out. The danger lies in antagonizing them lords and states that isna involved as yet. A false step and we'll be adding them to the enemy."
He was upset, even talking in dialect. Johnny never thought he'd have to soothe Sir Robert.
"We have a chance, a good one. Now here's what I propose we do. You go in there by yourself and do all you can."
Sir Robert didn't much care for that, but he listened.
"And then, when you have finished, or think you have gone as far as possible, you call me in. Introduce me however you please, but not too specifically."
The communicator they've been using as host will do all the introductions."
"Well, tell him what I said, all right?"
"Very good, laddie. I'll do whatever I can. And if I have nae a ceasefire, I'll call you."
The old war chief turned to leave.
"Good luck."
"Aye, lad. That's exactly what I'll be a-needing. We're nae doing well at all in the field."
Johnny looked at his watch. It wouldn't be long now. Chief Chong Wan popped in, grinning.
"The hole in the dam has stopped all but a trickle. My men are replacing the armor cable, patching and replacing it. The lake will be armored again before nightfall."
He threw his arms up, simulating the earlier explosion Johnny had made.
"Boom!"
he said, and vanished. Johnny thought, boom indeed. We'll all go boom if this conference fails.